As we embark on our study in the Scriptures, one of the things that I was considering is God's care of mothers. If I were to title the message today, I would say A Mother Not Forgotten. As a minister of the Scriptures, a pastor, you know, Mother's Day comes around every year. And I dare say that in the lives of some, this may be the only time a mother may be celebrated. I hope that's not true here. But it could come across that way to her. And I want to bring to our attention some encouragement for us of how God, He doesn't forget our mothers. I don't think I have to tell you too much or give you too much food for thought, but realize that in our culture in America today, family is being redefined by men. But I want you to realize, young and old alike, listen, the definitions for the family and for marriage and for gender and all those things, they forever remain secure in the Bible. Mothers are celebrated today, and of course, that is a tender relationship that people understand and realize whether they are followers of Christ or not. It is something that touches every part of culture around the world, no matter what language you speak. That relationship is an amazing one. It is a unique one. But you know, some mothers are forgotten. Some mothers are abandoned. Some mothers are left into the care of others. Why? Well, some may say that she was a lousy mother. She didn't take care of us, so why should we take care of her? Do you think that can really be said of some? Do you think that's true? Maybe they wouldn't say it, but is that the way people live sometimes? She's old. She's too hard for us to handle. Now, I understand that there's times when you just can't give the care that a person needs. But I believe this happens far too often, where the care of our loved one causes us inconvenience. So sometimes mothers are an inconvenience in our world of convenience, right? We live in convenience. Everything's convenient for us. Sometimes our moms are different in their views and their lifestyle. You know, what about those moms who have come to faith later in life and they've got children who believe very differently? We as a church need to watch out for them and look out for them because of their children may see things so very differently. You know, a mother-child relationship is, as I thought about it, probably the most intimate of all human relationships. As you think about the mother who carries the child in her womb, I mean, you can't get any more intimate. And she gives birth, and then she provides through her breasts the nourishment that the child needs. No one else can do all of these things. A mother is made such a mother. She is made a mother by the wondrous grace of God. Once a child is conceived in her womb, she's a mother. Her journey begins in caring for this next generation, and we know that God gives us our children. Oh. That belief, that truth, is being eroded and pushed to the side in our day as children become a commodity. You realize that, that so much of what's going on with all this technology, you know, people paying, surrogate motherhood, all these different things, what is it doing to God's definition of family, marriage, mother, children? As we think about a mother, today I'd like to highlight for you in the scriptures how a mother is not forgotten by God. You may be here today and you may feel forgotten. Whether you're a mother or not, today's message is for you because we know and understand that our dear God, He knows and He understands every aspect of our lives. To begin with, I would like to look at Jesus' example with His own mother in John chapter 19. One of the pressures that I feel as a preacher when it comes to days like this is that I feel like I need to come up with some message that people are going to be like, oh, that was really special for moms. You know, these are three points in a poem that we can talk about on the way home. And I want you to understand that I understand those sentiments. But I want you to understand the pressures that a pastor might feel when these kinds of times come, special days like Mother's Day or Father's Day or whatever. I am convinced that you have not come to hear some fancy outline or poem that I dug up from the internet. I am convinced that what you need and what I need and why you have come is to hear what God has to say. And although we may be looking at various different scriptures throughout the Bible today, I want you to listen to the voice of God as it comes through in His Word on this incredible tenderness that He communicates to us as people. And although maybe we will be focusing in on mothers in the Bible, don't miss the point. We're talking about the character of our God. Now, in John chapter 19, Jesus is hanging on the cross. Jesus, let's just remember his mother's name is what, children? Mary, right? It's not a trick question. Mary, okay? Jesus' mother's name is Mary. Now, did Mary raise her hand and say, pick me, pick me? She didn't. No. Who picked her? God did. God wanted Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Now, how did that all happen? God put Jesus within her. This was a miracle. Jesus did not have a human father. Although Joseph was in the home as the father figure, humanly speaking, he was not the father. You see, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and his father was the God of heaven. What's it like to be the mom of the Lord? I mean, some of you here today, you may have a little boy running around in your house, and some days you wish his name was Jesus. And you just wish that, you know, he lived that kind of life. But you know, none of you are married, are you? And God has blessed you with the little boys or little girls that he has given to you in your care right now. But nevertheless, Jesus grew up in a world that is cursed by sin, yet he did not sin. Mary, she grew up in a world cursed by sin, and she was a sinner. There has only ever been one perfect person that has lived on this earth, and that is Jesus Christ. All right, so you have that dynamic of God's Son living up in the world. His mother, she's a sinner, but yet chosen by God. Jesus ministers, he lives and ministers for, lives on the earth for about 33 years, ministered for about three and a half of those years, the end of his life. Throughout that time, the scriptures record for us that his family was very reluctant and slow to come to believe. Now, his mother seemed to be one who believed, seemed to be one that was pretty consistent in her devotion to Christ. But what is fascinating is that the half-siblings of Jesus, you don't see them becoming followers of Christ until the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, you finally see them sitting with the followers of Christ and the apostles. But up to that point, he did not have a following from his family, which was something he himself said coming from Nazareth as a prophet, not accepted by the people of his own country. So now we see Jesus, he's on the cross. He is placed there not because of any wrongdoing that he has done, but because of the wrongdoing of mankind. He has been condemned to death by his own people, the Jewish people, and the Gentiles have participated in mocking and beating him and seeing to it that he is nailed to the cross. Throughout this time, his mother Mary is faithfully there, seemingly as close as she can be. And in chapter 19 of John, we read in verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved," whom we believe that's John, "he said unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." A mother not forgotten. This is a very poignant, emotional moment that the scriptures record for us. Now, why is this little interaction given to us? Well, I can't explain all the reasons why. I don't have the mind of God. But I dare say that one of the reasons might be to just show us Jesus' care of his mother? May I suggest that to you, that Jesus, even as he is dying on the cross, has not forgotten his own mother. I mean, there are a myriad of other things that could have been going through his mind as there he is dying. As all these people are mocking him, as the pain is coursing through his veins and the blood is dripping to the ground, and he knows what is happening. And yet there he sees his mother. There is a lot in that phrase, saw his mother. I want to ask you a question. What goes through your mind when you see your mother? Let's be frank about this. A lot of different thoughts could go through your mind. Because let's face it, there's no mom that's perfect. I was going to say, you knew what I was going to say. It's not right. There are no mothers that are perfect. When you think of your mother, perhaps a lot of negative things come to mind. And it's okay to be honest about that. And I want to recognize that not everyone has had a beautiful relationship with their mother. That grieves me, but that's the sad reality, that not everyone has had a beautiful relationship with their mother. And it could be you today. It could be you. Perhaps, and this is probably many, you can't see your mother anymore. You only see her in your mind's eye. And I can see. I can see by the face that your face is. This is true for some of you. And your mind is going to her face, aren't you? You're picturing her and you're remembering her. Now, let's flip it. What happens when a mother is seen? What happens when a mother is noticed? What happens when a mom is recognized? Mary is there at the foot of the cross, and she is there because this is her son, whom she understands from the, she understood from the very beginning who he was. God told her his name. God told her his mission. He is the Savior. He has come to save his people from their sins. She was told that from the very get-go. Why else do you think at that wedding in Cana, she just said, "Son, they need you." She knew what he could do. She also understood that to be the Savior of the world, this path led through the cross, and there she is, and there he is up on the cross. And did she expect, did she demand that he look down and say what he said? We aren't told that. But nevertheless, what we do see is that a mother is not forgotten. Now, what's important to understand is the cultural ramifications of this. It sure seems like Joseph died fairly early on. Let's also remember that Jesus' other siblings have not followed him, have not been believing in him, so therefore his mother, in a spiritual sense, is alone. And what is God, Jesus Christ, do is he looks down from the cross where he is paying for the sin debt of his very mother as well as the world. And he looks down, and in those moments, he takes care of her. Essentially, what he is doing is he is making sure that as he dies, him being the eldest son, the one who would have been most responsible to care for his mother, he is making sure that as he dies, she will be looked after. And he turns to one of his followers, John, and he says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And the scripture tells us, John writes this, he says, "From that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." A mother not forgotten. Now, we do know that Jesus' siblings did come to believe. In fact, we believe that James, the letter in our Bibles, was written by a half-brother of Jesus as testament to them coming all around, coming to belief. Well, I want to share with you several others that came to my mind of mothers that are not forgotten by God. And what I'm doing here is I am focusing on the point, this point, God is the one who's not forgetting. With this realization, listen, God knows and sees all things. God is perfect. And if God, in all of his perfection, he spends this time and he shows this attention upon these women, upon these mothers, it is a tremendous challenge and example for us. And it shows us the value that God places upon these dear people in our lives. We're going to go through several various passages, and you can listen. You can follow along. I may move fairly quickly. Why am I doing this? I want to just show you the Bible is full of ways that God has said, I am not forgetting you, Mom. In Genesis chapter 4, Eve, the first mother. In Genesis chapter 4, we see her there, and she gives birth to Cain and to Abel. Her name means mother of all living. And in Genesis chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, listen, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. You know the story? Eve gave birth to Cain, and then to Abel, and they grew up, and Cain murders Abel. Can you imagine the grief a mother feels when a son murders a son? I hope that is not the case in any of your lives. But sadly, I'm sure it's in the lives of some. But I don't want us to miss what Eve says, what her perspective is, when after Abel has been killed and Cain has been abolished and sent away, she is empty. She has no children. They're gone. One killed, one abolished, and God gives her Seth. And what does she say? For God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. A mother is not forgotten. Does this mean that God always does this in the lives of people? No, it does not mean this. But this is just testament to the fact that God pays attention and he understands and he sees. And we'll talk more about that in a few moments. In Genesis chapter 16, a very interesting character to bring up because, listen, Hagar is not one that's known as being on the right side of things in God's sight. We read of characters in the Bible like her, and we tend to shy away from them. Because listen, Hagar, she's the handmaid that went into Abraham so that Abraham could have a child so that God's promise could be fulfilled. But it was not God's way. It was not God's plan. And indeed, Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, who is the father of the Arabs, who are largely, many cases, Islam, Muslim, and major enemies of God's people today and have been for a long time. But you know what we see? Again, what can we learn about God and his character? And I want you to see in Genesis chapter 16, Hagar conceives a child by Abram. And you notice in verse 6, But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So when Sarai realized Hagar became pregnant, Sarai wasn't pregnant, the jealousy ensued, and so therefore a bitter battle. Hagar runs away. Now verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. Listen, who's pursuing her? God is. In some senses, how does this make sense? Because Hagar's not the one who's supposed to bear the promised child. But nevertheless, what do we see God doing? He's not forgetting her. The angel of the Lord, verse 9, said unto her, Return to your mistress and submit yourself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, El Roy, the God who sees. Dear ones, maybe you need to hear that today. He's the God who sees. Yeah, Hagar's situation wasn't ideal. She's a slave. She's just doing what her mistress told her to do. God sees. Listen, that was Hagar's perspective of the Hebrew God. He sees me. It's not the end with Hagar. Genesis chapter 21. She gives birth to Ishmael. And then Sarai gives birth to Isaac. Isaac is the promised seed. There begins to be problems between the two. And so God, in verse 12 of Genesis 21, God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in your sight because of the lad and because of your bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto you, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is your seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and bottle of water, gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice, and she wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You know, with Hagar, not only do we see that God is the one who sees, we also see that God is the one who hears. That would be El Shama. And so, church, listen. You don't have to be a mother to be impacted by such a truth. Maybe you're dealing with a difficult thing and you're a man today. Listen, just because it's a Mother's Day doesn't mean that God's character cannot impact you too. Let him touch your life with the truth of who he is. He's the God who sees, and he's the God who hears. And we learn this from Hagar's interaction with God. Sarah, in Genesis chapter 21, in verse 1, we read, "The Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, and she conceived." Let's just remind ourselves of something. Sarah was well beyond childbearing years. This is a miracle. And she gives birth to a son. And I want you to look at verses 6 and 7. "And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." A mother is not forgotten. Sarah, she's laughing. She's laughing as God has given her a son. Some other thoughts and examples. Rachel in Genesis chapter 30. God opens her womb after Leah, her sister, gives birth to many children. And finally, Rachel gives birth to a son. She calls his name Joseph. And listen to what she says. She says, "God has taken away my reproach." You see, God did not forget her. Of course, you have the example of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I want you to, the most common thing is for us to go and remember how God did the miraculous and gave her, who was barren, a son. His name was Samuel. But you know what we don't often talk about is what God did after Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord and to his service. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verses 20 and 21, listen to what it says. "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife," that's Hannah, "and said, the Lord give you seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home." Let me just stop for a moment. Can you imagine being a woman who was barren and God blesses you with a child and you promise to give that child to the Lord's service? So you raise the child, you wean the child, and you give the child to Eli to serve in the tabernacle. The house is quiet. There's no more laughter and pitter-patter of feet. In order to see your very own son, you've got to go travel to see him. You're making a coat for him that you bring to him, but he is not there. But listen, in chapter 1 Samuel, verse 21, "And the Lord visited Hannah, and so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." That is beautiful, because God does not forget, and God has not forgotten Hannah. She lent her son to the Lord's work. And what did he do? He blessed her with five more children. A mother is not, forgotten. Your mind might go to a story that I think some of our young people had in Sunday school. Mr. Walker's class today, what did you talk about in your class? Do you guys remember? Was it about a oil? Maybe they aren't. Do you remember? One's sleeping, isn't he? What does that say about? Never mind. What about the widow and the oil? Do you remember that? In 2 Kings chapter 4? Let's go there because I want you to see the distress and the troubles. 2 Kings chapter 4. And remember, God is remembering a woman, not a mother, not forgotten. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. She said, Thy servant, my husband is dead. There we go. And you knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. You know what? We don't necessarily comprehend the magnitude of what is happening in this woman's life, but she was married to one of the servants of the Lord. And he has died and left her in debt with two sons, and the creditors are coming to take her two sons to go work to pay off the debt. And she cries out, a mother crying out for help. She goes to the man of God, Elisha. And what does Elisha do? He tells her to go borrow all these jars, and they go borrow all these jars. They only have just a tiny little bit of oil. And so, verse 4, and when you are come in, after you borrow all the jars, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and you shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God and said, the man of God said to her, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. God saw, and God met her need. What an amazing experience that must have been. What a story to tell for those little boys. Go get another jar. Mom, we don't have any more jars. And they look around their house, and there are full jars of oil all around them. God did not forget them. There are other examples, and I'm sure you can think of some. I want to close with one from the New Testament. That is Timothy's mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. In all the hubbub and the busyness of planting churches and going on missions trips, going from a pagan belief system to that of following after God, perhaps Timothy being away from his mother for long periods of time, it would have been easy to forget that so much of the spiritual foundation of that man's life lie in the investments of his mother and grandmother. And what do we see Paul doing to Timothy in his last letter? What do we see him doing? He's reminding Timothy of that investment. Verse 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Now go to chapter 3. In chapter 3, look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's an acknowledgement here of the impact that a mother's influence has upon her son. A mother not forgotten. So today, as we've gone through these scriptures and you've seen and you've heard the heart and character of our God, and you've noticed how God has shown a tenderness towards mothers, there are others that we could cover. The widow whose son died, and they're weeping as they go to bury him, and Jesus comes and heals, or I should say raises him from the dead. Listen, mothers, there may be times when you feel forgotten. There may be times when you do not feel loved, when you do not feel heard or cared about or valued. I believe from what we have looked at today in the Word of God that in those moments, God wants you to hear His voice. God wants you to know Him as El Roy, El Shammah. I am the God who sees. I am the God who hears. We as husbands, we as children, we fail. We don't treat the mothers in our lives like we ought to. True? Certainly. There are times when we fail, when we may forget, when we may not recognize, when we may not remember. And not that mothers are looking for the credit, but I do know and understand that as we have looked at these scriptures, mothers are recognized, but God's character is magnified. And it is my prayer today that our families will be stronger and that our mothers will be remembered in a greater way by us as we realize how much God cares for mothers. God has made you such. God has blessed you. And God sees you. Thank you, God, for being El Roy. Thank you, God, for being El Shammah. And thank you for your tenderness to each of us. Even as we celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as we remember what the prophet said, that you know our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. God, you know. Oh God, would you minister today to those that are here that may feel forgotten. Maybe they feel like they are all alone in this place full of people. Maybe they feel like there is no one that understands and no one that recognizes what's going on in their lives. God, burst through. Burst through into their lives and show them who you are today. And minister in their lives. Oh God, I pray that we would be as people, that we would take this challenge and we would remember the blessed people that you have given to us in our lives. The people that have cared for us or are caring for us. Could be mothers, could be fathers, could be both, grandmothers, grandfathers, whoever it might be. And we recognize, God, your tenderness over us as it's expressed through their hands, through their voice, through their touch. I pray today for those, Lord, that are weeping inside, weeping over perhaps a relationship that is not right. Perhaps, God, a relationship with a mother that is broken. Oh God, I pray that you would heal and that you would reconcile. But most of all, God, that you would take your child, your saint, and overwhelm them and flood them with your precious, precious peace. I'm so glad that you've given us your word, that we get to know you and to know your character. The hymn writer writes, "It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." Amen.